The health food question. March 17, 1902. Typed. I must now give the instruction given me in regard to the health food question. The health food work is the property of God and is not to be made a financial speculation for personal gain. There are institutions to be established. There is a great work to be accomplished. The light that God has given and will continue to give on the food question is to His people today what the manna was to the children of Israel. The manna fell from heaven, and the people were told to gather it up and prepare it to be eaten. So in the different countries of the world, health foods suited to these countries are to be prepared. Mistakes may be made in following precisely every recipe given in our health journals. Let those in charge of these journals be more careful than they have been in the past in regard to publishing recipes for our people. The members of every church are to cultivate the tact and ingenuity that God will give them. The Lord has skill and understanding for all who will use their ability in striving to learn how to combine the products of the earth so as to make simple, easily prepared health foods, which will take the place of flesh meat, so that people will have no excuse for eating flesh meat. Those who are given an understanding of how to prepare such foods must use their knowledge unselfishly. They are to help their poor brethren. It is God's purpose that health foods shall be manufactured in many places. Those who accept the truth are to learn how to prepare these foods. It is not the Lord's plan that the poor shall suffer for the necessities of life. The Lord calls upon His people in the different countries to ask Him for wisdom, and then to use aright the wisdom He gives them. We are not to settle down in hopelessness and discouragement. I am instructed to say that we must not look to any human being for power or experience, for strength or guidance. Christ says, "Look unto me. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Isaiah 45, verse 22. John 8, verse 12. I speak to those who claim to be children of God. Is it not time that we knew the source of our strength and the source of our power? Shall we not, from the beginning of this year, make a record more pleasing to the Lord? Scenes are presented to me that I can find no language to describe. Trials will come that will humble hearts. Let no one feel that he is safe in following his own way, or in making man his trust. The Lord calls for men of experience, men who will carry responsibilities in His name and in His strength, men who will receive His grace to impart it to others. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1, verse 1-4, 9-12. It has been most distinctly presented to me that as a people we must now walk and work as men and women accountable to God. We must depend on Him, not on human beings. The Word of the living God is to be our guide. Each one is to realize his dependence on Him whose he is by creation and by redemption. Read and study the statements made in the 6th chapter of John. Pray for an understanding of these truths. I am alarmed as I see the spiritual weakness of those who have had such great light. Had they walked in this light, they would have been strong in the Lord. But they have not, and those who come into the truth through their efforts look to human beings for wisdom, instead of looking to Jesus Christ, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verse 9. When those who claim to believe in Christ receive Him by faith, He will be to them their sanctification and their righteousness. The Lord's agencies, the men of His appointment, are individually to receive wisdom from Him. They are to see Him more distinctly as their sufficiency, their strength. I wish to say that the Lord has placed Dr. Kellogg in an important position, and that his brethren are to respect him and his work. Dr. Kellogg's influence is to be a blessing, as he works in connection with his brethren and with the great master worker. But while Dr. Kellogg is to be respected and honored, while we are to recognize the fact that God has used him as a channel through which to communicate great light to his people, we are in no case to place him where God should be. This is the great danger. If this is done, the Lord will remove Dr. Kellogg. Dr. Kellogg is doing 3 times as much work as he should do. It is not God's will that he should do this, because by so doing, he is shortening his life. He is God's property, and he should keep himself hid with Christ in God. The Lord has reproved those who claim to believe present truth for failing to cooperate with Dr. Kellogg in walking in the light on health reform. Dr. Kellogg is to stand as God's chosen physician, but if he is left to follow his own judgment in all things, he will make mistakes. Dr. Kellogg must not embrace so much in his plans as he has done in the past. His planning must be different. I may lay off my armor at any moment. For weeks I have felt that I may not live long. I am instructed that rules and regulations are being brought in that God does not approve. Agreements are drawn up to be signed by those in our sanitariums that should never be presented to God's people for signature. God does not require the signing of the documents presented to our sanitariums in this country and in foreign countries. This is not according to God's will. Dr. Kellogg is never to assume a power that God has not given him. He is not to place himself where people look to him instead of to God. In the meeting held at College View in regard to the bakery there, a transaction took place that dishonored and misrepresented Christ. This transaction was shown to me with the results that would surely follow. Thus saith the Lord, I will not endorse any transaction of this character. Some, who claim to understand the facts, justify Dr. Kellogg in what he did and help him to feel that he did right. Could they see this matter as God sees it, they would tremble for themselves and for Dr. Kellogg. That which was done on that occasion does not bear the approval of God. The spirit that prompted the action was not Christ-like. God's rebuke is upon that action and upon every action of like character. Such things are a misrepresentation of the Lord's work. Mistakes had been made, but they were not of a nature to deserve the result brought about by the methods followed in correcting them. Things might have been adjusted with equity and fairness, compassion and tenderness, had the right spirit been cherished. But both parties acted in a way that misrepresented the truth. Confusion was brought into minds as to what is right and what is wrong. When matters are brought to a crisis similar to the crisis that came at College View, Dr. Kellogg is inclined to act in his own strength. He allows his natural and hereditary tendencies to control him. The Lord desires his spirit to be changed. Dr. Kellogg is to err on the side of mercy rather than on the side of oppression. It is not becoming in one who has been entrusted with such great responsibilities to act as if he were a ruler of the minds of men. Dr. Kellogg has been especially blessed and favored, and he is not justified in acting as he acted in the board meeting at College View. The influence of such actions is always wrong.